Welcome back to Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods, where we explore various cults and religions of the world. Tonight, we're going to continue our discussion about Scientology. Now, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to help other people find us.
You're always so happy doing that section. Before we begin, right, as always, we have to remind everyone, these are our opinions, don't necessarily represent those of our employers or churches or sometimes even families. let's get started, Matt. This is the fun one, at least for me. I enjoy this episode most of all.
More than theology?
I think so, right? I think so, because they do go so well in hand, right? But this is the chance that we get to make some applications to the things that we've talked about. And application's one of those things I enjoy.
Applications, like programming things?
I mean, I enjoy programming things, but I'm thinking more like, you know, how do we change your life? You know, how do you apply concepts that we've talked about or stop applying concepts that we've talked about?
Well, where the rubber meets the road,
absolutely.
Right? Okay, well, let's get started on this. Let's where do we begin?
So there are so many things, that I wanted to respond to, that I wanted to write about, that I wanted to pick out and say, here's the thing, right?
Because Scientology is not a simple religion.
Right?
It's not just a little bit different than a little bit deviation of Christianity or even Buddhism, but another religion or any of that. It's kind of a whole thing. It's quite complicated, very bureaucratic. There's a lot to it. So you've kind of had to pick the main things to respond to here, right?
Yep. So while I could have sat down and we could make it, you know, a 4-hour long lecture on all these different things, most people probably don't want to listen to us talk for that long. They definitely don't want to see our faces for that long. So
my mama watches this podcast.
I don't even know if your mama would like to listen to us for 4 hours, Matt. I mean, I love your mama.
I mean,
so
she'd tell me she listened to
it. So one of the things that I think we ought to focus on is just the Ingrams, right? I do want to point out one thing that Scientology has right, which most of the cults that we talk about, there's a piece of the truth, right? St. Justin Martyr wrote about the spermaticus logos, right? The seed of the truth that exists in every philosophy and every theology. Somewhere there's a piece of Christ, and it's just a matter of digging it out and finding it. And in this case, it's the fact that humanity has something wrong with it, that humanity is broken, because we are. You know, most religions, not all, but most will come up with some way that humanity is broken. But Scientology does a pretty good job of saying, hey, you as a person, there's something wrong. And so now we've got to figure out how to fix it.
That's about where that stops,
yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he took a piece of putty and he stretched it out to find that grain of sand in there somewhere.
Right.
And said, hey, we started with that. Yep.
Now we got all the other mess, right? But so the way that they try to solve it, right, is where they fall apart, right?
Well, and the way they describe what the actual problem is.
Well, that too, yeah.
I just want to make that clear, because you said Ingrams.
Yeah.
Explain real quick what those are. I know you're trying to keep this a little short, but tell us real briefly what those are.
So the Ingrams are those negative experiences in life that mass up in your reactive mind, right? That constantly reinforce the negative, right? That cause emotional instability, psychological issues, illness, etc.
And we talked about how the concept is not completely foreign, and it's in psychology, to some extent.
Yeah. So, but if you think about it, right, what Scientology has done is debating on if I want to go down this road. is they've taken the concept of sin, right, and they've flipped it into something else, right? It's become an experience to you, right? In most cases, right? There's a few times where they say, hey, you did something that wasn't right, and so now you've got to get rid of that negative experience of something that you did wrong.
But they mostly make it not your fault.
The vast majority of the time is that it's not your fault, unless you're going against Scientology, as we talked about in our Dave Masterson episode. then it is your fault. So it's kind of that same concept, right? But it's viewed from the opposite perspective, that it's something that's happened to you and not necessarily something that you did. And that it's stacked up over these generations, which if you're, you know, of the original sin group, right, that the guilt of Adam has passed down through generations, it's kind of the same thing. The guilt from the Thetans 14 quadrillion years ago, all those Ingrams have passed down to the people today.
But they don't start there. They start in the very... You have a hang up over this. Right. Go back through your memories.
Yeah, they start with today. And then
when they
kind
of run out of those things, they start working into past lives and past lives. And then when they run out of all the past lives your imagination can come up with, they go into the, you know, Xenu caused all this destruction stuff.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
But so clearing, right, which is their salvific soteriology discussion, right?
I would say so.
You know, is less about righting oneself, right, and aligning with some greater value, and more about removing victimhood. It's more about saying, hey, you know, when I was a past life and I was George Washington, right, so-and-so did this to me and made me go chop down a cherry tree and I was mad and it was a problem, right? That kind of mentality, right? Of I have to get rid of all of these kinds of things, which is a problem.
Okay.
Why is that a problem, Matt?
Well, because now that you're making the person responsible for stuff that they just kind of made up in their head.
Because now you're making the person a victim for something that they never did. Right?
Yeah.
So you're adding this
It's good for Scientology though, it keeps them coming back.
It's
for
great
more sessions.
You realize
it means you can never truly be done. Yep. Even once you're clear, they have more things for you to work on. So there's never a complete salvation.
Right.
They have no concept of once saved, always saved. Nope. That's for sure. There's really not a saved concept anyway. They don't call it salvation. Yeah. But they do have a similar concept to sin, and that you have these Ingrams, right? And so that's always something you have to be doing, and you have to keep paying for these auditing sessions. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps you in a thing. And, you know, we see this with other cults too, where there's always something else they've got to be accounting for. There's always something else they got to do to be better, and it changes over time. In Scientology, that's happened a little bit too, is their beliefs changed a little bit. You know, there was always something more.
Right.
Originally, Scientology started with Dianetics, and it was just, you know, talking through these things. And then as they came out with the E-meters, then it's making the E-meter. The needle has to float, you know?
Yep.
So there's always, and the person who runs the E-meter, it's so subjective how they read it, that they basically have control to extend that session as long as they want.
Yep.
And even the people doing the auditing are not necessarily trying to keep you in the session longer, but they're trying to make you reach a certain thing until they interpret you've reached that thing. And even if they interpret you reached it and then you have something that changes that and it comes back again, they just say, oh, well, I must have been wrong. We have to do it again.
Yep. Well, so let me ask you a question. Right, that I think if you really think about the question, right, if someone who is following Scientology really thinks about it, perhaps it can make a difference. When one finds themselves so focused on the experiences of another, right, the actions of another, how are they ever to fix themselves?
Well, they're not thinking it's experiences of another. They think it's experience of themselves.
So, right, that's the teaching, right? But one cannot... I'm gonna pull a Father Stephen, right? You don't know what it's like to be a bat, right? We cannot know the essence of another person. We can't know the essence of an animal, right? For sure, right?
But you're still saying another person. They don't believe it's another person. They believe it's themselves.
They
believe literally they teach the essence is still them.
But there's no evidence, right, in any of their teachings, right, that you can say without a doubt that it's not made up, right? That you can say that it's not your imagination running wild and saying, oh, I think I was George Washington.
Oh, well, if you do that, then there'll be more auditing sessions later. It's circular. Mm-hmm. It's all circular logic on purpose.
Yep.
So if later on you decide, well, I really wasn't that. And remember, auditing is a very intense thing. You've got to come up with an answer. Right. You cannot stop the session until you're done.
Right.
So that's where, as we talked about in the history, that's kind of where that evolved into the whole multiple lives thing. It originally didn't involve multiple lives. But eventually you run out of stuff to talk about in your own life. Yep. Well, there's got to be something else. The needle isn't floating yet. You're missing something. You're missing something. Oh, I had another life.
Right.
I remember something. I don't know what it was. And then you kind of fill out those memories.
Yep.
It's really your imagination filling that stuff out.
Right. And it's got to be your imagination. Right. Because you don't know what it's like to be a bat. We'll go into that in another episode. I'm going to come up with a reason to bring in you don't know what it's like to be a bat. But
when Brian accused me of being a vampire.
Well, maybe for Halloween. That'd be a great episode for Halloween. Yeah, Matt's a vampire. But so what happens, right, is when you don't focus on fixing yourself, right, you have zero call for repentance. There's not a single word in any of the documents that I read that leads me to understand there is any call for repentance within Scientology.
Right, because they don't believe they have to.
Exactly.
There's nothing for them to repent for. They think there are these things, these hang-ups,
right,
but there's nothing for them to repent for.
And it's because all of these things are experiences that have happened to you, not that you have committed.
You can commit things against the church, and you have to do penance to the church. That's where the RPF comes in play, where you have to work towards making up for your wrongs to the church when you were out ethics on things.
Right. Yeah, but that's specifically things that the church has set aside and said, you've done wrong, right? But we've seen literally this week, right, how the church has set aside and said, you three girls were wrong in the Danny Masterson trial. Danny Masterson?
We talked about the concept of that they teach the concept that you draw in bad things to happen to you. If bad things happen to you, it's because you did something to cause it. So we talked earlier about how they kind of make it not your fault, but then some things they make your fault, right?
Yep.
Again, it's that circular logic thing.
Yep.
And it all comes back to getting you into doing more auditing and more
spending
stuff.
More money.
And spending more money, because none of that comes for free.
Because if you want to get rich, you got to start a religion.
Which was the point of this in the first place. It's a very bureaucratic religion.
That's something L. Ron Hubbard said, or wrote, or something. But yeah. So you said something in the social issues episode about one can be a Christian and a Scientologist. According to some people, right? You didn't actually say that as a "you believe this," but as a
right. Some people, wasn't my opinion,
right? Some people teach this, and
some Scientologists, say, "Well, Scientology is not a religion per se," although they do say they're a religion officially, so that
get tax benefits,
tax exemption, etc. They're saying you can be a Christian, do all that all you want, but you can also be a Scientologist and apply the. And that's the people who haven't made it to the other OT levels and Xenu and all this stuff.
Yep.
Which is the vast majority, assumed. So they apply the communication concepts and things mm-hmm. like that. And so they're doing that. Some people say, no, that's not the case. You're dabbling in the wrong things. Right. I think the Bible warns us about dabbling in things we shouldn't mm-hmm. be.
Yep. Yeah. I can say,
I know Moses warned us, David warned us, Jesus definitely warned us, Paul warned yep. us.
You know me, right? And you know I don't say that I can be 100% certain on very many things.
I know that you wear khaki pants all the time and a black shirt. I'm not sure you own anything else.
I do. Sometimes. But I can say with 100% certainty, right? You cannot be a Christian and a Scientologist.
Oh, that's a pretty strict statement mm-hmm. there.
It is.
So let's break that down.
The ideologies are so far removed, right? And the lack of any idea of repentance, right? I'm the chiefest of sinners on the Christian side, and all these bad things have happened to me, and I've got to quit thinking about them on the other side, right? Are not compatible. They cannot coexist in the same person.
I'm very hesitant to call someone and say, you know, they can't be a Christian, because I don't feel like that's for me to say that. That's for Christ to make that determination. I'm very mm-hmm. hesitant to say that. Even if I think they're in sin for things, I feel like that's something Jesus has got to work out with them and their heart and that sort of thing. And I probably fall on the more liberal side on that than you mm-hmm. do on some things. But there, you do have to be a Christian. The definition of being a Christian is to follow right. Christ. And I think we can argue over major and minor points and what it means to follow Christ and exactly what Christ is teaching. And did you stick to this the way he meant mm-hmm. and how did he mean this and that and all this? We could argue a lot of that, but I do very much see, I can't see a path of being Scientologist and being Christian. Nope. I think as you look, and I know because I know the higher level teachings in Scientology, mm-hmm. that as you go through the higher levels, you definitely,
right.
That's not compatible at yeah. all. And even Scientology would agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you might could get away
with. I think that is just a recruitment method used for lower level Scientology.
Right. You might could get away with
to recruit level.
Going over and doing their free personality test or whatever and be okay, right? But you cannot commit yourself to Scientology and to Christ.
Right.
You either serve God or you serve mammon.
And another thing I'm guessing we lie on different sides of is, you know, once saved, always saved. But, you know, the whole argument for and against that, part of that is people say, well, once saved, always saved. And people are like, well, yes, but what if you weren't really saved in the first place? You know, if you're following Christ, you're following Christ. And you'll always follow Christ. Or if you don't always follow Christ, you didn't really mean it, so you weren't always following Christ. I always found that to be a very weak argument. Yep. And I should mention, I fall on the once saved, always saved side, but I still find that to be a very weak argument. Like, come yeah. on. I don't see how you could follow Christ and go through the higher levels in Scientology. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think that's pretty common in going to different religions too. And I think that's even common in Christianity, where we come across something, we learn about something, maybe we're enthused about something. And the more we learn about it, then we're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
this isn't a good thing.
Right.
And that's growth. That's how we go from milk to meat. You know, I can name things, and I won't take up all the time naming all those things in my life where I've definitely done such things in my life where this looked like a good thing. And then the more I examined it and the more I learned about it or got closer to it or did it or whatever, I realized this isn't compatible with my relationship with Jesus.
Yep.
And as a Christian, I have to be like, you know what? Jesus is first. Yep. He's the man. He's the God in my life, you know? Yep.
Technically, he's both.
So I don't fault the people who would go explore something like this. But I think it's important, and since we're in the response mm-hmm. episode, we can kind of talk about this. It is important that we share with other people that this isn't compatible and why this isn't compatible. And that it's important if you were to know a Scientologist or somebody who's been kind of dabbling in Scientology, that we teach them of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because with Christ, they're not going to be compatible
right.
with the Scientology thing.
Yep.
So I'm with you on that. Like a lot of things, we may be a little disagreeing on some things on different sides, but we actually come to the same point a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why we're such great friends.
In Christ, there's unity. So I agree with you. I don't see how that's compatible at all. And I think that as Christians, in our response to this would be that, you know, this just can't be compatible.
Right.
This is not compatible with the message that Jesus has given us.
Yep. There we go. So go and read the blog post over at faithfraudsfalsehoods.com. I've got more details, some definitions, and probably even some Greek words thrown in there. Because that's what we do, right? So go check that out. So Matt, let's reel it all in. Let's finish out this discussion on Scientology. So we have, 12 criteria that we use to kind of define a cult, right? We break it down into theology and social criteria. So theologically, right, our first criteria is misplaced authority. This is hard, right? The theological side is going to be quite a bit harder for them than it is for other groups like the FLDS or Jim Jones, because the others are claiming to be Christian groups. These guys don't even come close to claiming it, although they do have a cross in their logo, which is interesting.
That's for marketing reasons.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Everything's for marketing reasons. But
no, they've said that. It's for marketing reasons, yeah.
So misplaced authority, yes, right? I think they do have misplaced authority, but I think it's because they've placed authority in something that's not Christian at all, right? Not just they've picked some person that has no right to authority. They've put their faith in something that's just not there. Eschatological error? Yeah. Because they have this idea that there is no end. Right? There is no apocalypse coming. There's no final day for humanity to exist. So, yeah, it's a different kind of eschatological error than we run into, but it's still there. Soteriological, so salvation errors. Yep, we just had that in our response. Modification of vocabulary. This is a fun one, right? You have to buy a dictionary to be a part of their group. So yeah, that one's there. And
they're really big about the vocabulary and about words. And when you go through your lessons, you have to understand every word. And if you don't, you look it up. And yes, they have their own language almost.
Yeah.
They have so many additional words they have added.
Yep.
Their official language is English,
right?
But they've added so many words and concepts and things. Like, we've only learned some of it.
Oh yeah,
they're definitely modification of vocabulary. Yep. Probably more so than any other group we've seen.
Yes, for sure.
A lot of the other groups we've seen have changed the definitions of existing words, and maybe added a couple new words. These people have added lots of new words.
Yep. Yeah, we've got a whole page in our notes of just definitions of just words and the way that they use them.
And that's not even all of them.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just the ones that we came across as we were reading. And then finally, mistaught concepts. Again, kind of the same with some of the others, because they're teaching something that's just plainly wrong, right? But the Ingram, right, being so close to the concept of sin, you could probably make an argument there that it's just a mistaught understanding of sin, right? A
Thetans
modified,
kind of being souls.
Yeah, Thetan as a soul. Yep.
So let's look at the social criteria.
Yeah.
We start with centralized authority. Well, they did have centralized authority. They started with L. Ron Hubbard, and now they got Navid Miscavige, COB of the RTC.
Right.
There's some of them words again.
Yep.
chairman of the board of Religious Technology Center. So they definitely have a central authority issue. Mm-hmm. They're not deity necessarily, although they somewhat deitize L. Ron Hubbard.
Right.
But they're definitely leader of the religion. Definitely worship. They have pictures of L. Ron everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they do hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. Three cheers for L. Ron Hubbard and everything they do. We really didn't cover that enough earlier. We should have talked about that more. The pictures of L. Ron Hubbard and
everywhere. There's so much that we could have covered.
Oh, man.
We could turn this into like a 4-month long series.
Expose on Scientology.
But we got other groups to talk about.
You know, if y'all want to look at some more, look into the Aftermath Foundation. Mm-hmm. There is a group of about 5 previous Scientologists who are really big on YouTube and talk a lot about them. And have covered a lot of this stuff. Way better than us, honestly. We versus they. Oh, yes. Very much we versus they. They are very much them against the world. Yep. They think the world's persecuting them. They talk about that anytime anybody's critical. They believe they're trying to clear the world. They're trying to change everybody in the world. So we versus they. Isolationist exclusivity. They don't really isolate themselves necessarily.
Right.
Parts of the group do. Parts of the Sea Org does. They live on their own. They don't really deal. They don't watch TV. They don't watch the news. They don't read the internet. So, yes, the Sea Org is isolationist. The public Scientologists are not. They're in culture very much. So they have some of that, yes, because they have some of the groups we've covered. The whole group lives off of by themselves. This part of the group lives off by themselves and part of them doesn't. And there's kind of blurred lines in between a little bit, but not a lot.
Okay.
If you're in the Sea Org, you don't get an education outside of Scientology. You don't watch TV. So yeah, there's some isolationism happening. Mm-hmm. Elitism, where they think they're part of the, how do we define that one?
That's that idea of we're better than everyone else.
That 100%.
Yeah. Kind of that. We should be the ones making the decisions, et cetera.
Yep. Yes. And they often put themselves in a position to do so. Proselytism. They definitely proselytize.
Yep.
As we talked in previous episodes, they, you know, hand out these little cards. They have Scientology TV where they ran propaganda and things about Scientology and all the great things Scientology does. Mm-hmm. Scientology can help you. Outside cultural norms. Yes. They're way outside cultural norms and a lot of things.
Yep.
And labeled a cult by others. They have been labeled a cult since the very beginning. A lot of people have called them out for cult-like things since the very beginning. It's kind of waned and grown a little bit over time in culture. Right now, they're getting more popular in the media. Not more popular. They're being pointed out more and more. Part of that's this Danny Masterson thing. Part of it is so many people in the last 20 years have left the group and been very public about it with social media and technology. They originally tried to go against the internet in the earlier days, and that blew up on them, and Anonymous came after them and things. So a lot of their religious stuff has been leaked. That's when we know about the OT levels and things. So they've definitely been labeled a cult by others.
Yep.
So that really brings us to our final question there.
Are they a cult?
I think so.
Yep.
And I say final question. I guess we get that one last question. What's the last question you always ask us, Brian?
We have a question. How many Kool-Aids are we giving them? Is that our question?
Yes, and I should mention the Kool-Aid Corporation would want me to add that it was Flavor Aid used, not Kool-Aid, in the Jonestown.
Yeah, murders.
Yes.
Which we talked about and in our audio-only episodes. You should go find that.
Yes. We wish we had videotaped those and started on YouTube, but we started audio. Yep. I am all for 5 out of 5 glasses of Kool-Aid, but it should have been Flavor Aid.
I think so. I think that is where they stand. And, it's a sad thing, but yeah, it's where they're at.
We talk about some cults where how cultish are they, and maybe they have a basis in reality, or they could get to reality, or things like that, or more orthodoxy type things with Christianity. But this is so far off. This is 5 out of 5. Straight up, Scientology's a cult. And it's something you should avoid. Yep.
Avoid it like the plague. Like COVID. So now we don't have to say like the plague anymore. We can say like avoid it like COVID.
We can. Yeah. The whole world exists before COVID and after COVID.
Well, guys, this has been Scientology. We hope that you've learned something, come away with knowing something, come away with ideas, right? Thoughts on how you can help your friends, right? That may be getting close to Scientology. Drop us a note, leave us a comment, tell us what you want to hear about in the future. We've already picked our next group to talk about, but we'd love to know who you guys want to learn about. So, Matt, who...
Yeah, we'll do the research. We'll bring you the information.
Absolutely, because that's what we enjoy doing. So, who are we talking about next, Matt?
We are talking about the Children of God.
Children of God / the Family International.
Yes. David...
Berg.
Berg.
David Berg.
David Berg.
Yeah.
Very much some cult-like activity happening there. We will talk more about it and learn all about it.
We'll see you then. Thank you for joining us here on Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Don't forget that we have our website, faithfraudsfalsehoods.com, where we post a more detailed blog with references so that you can go and take a look at all of this information for yourself. Also, remember to share this with a friend and help us get the word out there for everyone else. We'll see you in the next one.